This is Focus 580. It's our telephone talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. In the first hour of the show today, we will be talking about coal and energy policy here in Illinois, and it's intended to bring you a different set of views, in a sense, to balance a program that we did a couple of weeks ago with some representatives of the coal industry. On the 22nd of May, we had three guests on the show: Taylor Pensino, president of the Illinois Coal Association. We had Roger Dennison, who is chairman of the Coal Association. He's also president and general manager of Turris Coal Company. And third guest, Mike Murphy. He's the chief of the Illinois Office of Coal Development, which is part of the Department of Commerce and Community Affairs. And that time we were talking about the potential for coal in the state and also talking about legislation that was moving through the State House in Springfield that would provide some benefits and incentives to the industry to try to revive it. At that time, there was a little bit of uncertainty what legislation would pass. I think they seemed to be fairly certain that something would pass, and indeed it did. The legislature has passed a package, $3.5 billion, that they hope will revive the industry here in the state of Illinois and, among other things, provide money to build new coal-burning power plants. That has now gone to the governor. It's awaiting his signature, and I think everyone expects that he will sign it. Environmental groups, however, are not really terribly happy about this proposal for a number of reasons, and we'll get a reaction this morning to it and generally to the idea of burning more coal to generate electricity here in the state of Illinois. And our guest is Diane Brown, executive director of the Public Interest Research Group of Illinois. And as we talk, of course, questions, comments are welcome, as always. We all only ask that people who are calling in just try to be brief. And we ask that so we can keep things moving along and work in as many people as possible. Anyone's welcome to call. Here in Champaign-Urbana, the number 333-9455. And we do also have a toll-free line. That's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So again, locally, 333-WILL, and toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Ms. Brown, hello.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
I'm sure that we can get into some specifics, but I guess generally I'll start out by asking for your reaction to this legislative package that made it through the General Assembly and we expect the governor will sign.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we look at it that just as we're at a crossroads in the nation for how we're going to address our energy needs, we too are at a crossroads here in Illinois, and we're concerned that this package really was a rush-through process in terms of looking at overall what is the energy needs for Illinois, not only short-term but longer-term as well. We're particularly concerned when there are more incentives given to coal because we see that it is a very polluting industry here in Illinois. 1,700 people are dying each year due to coal-fired power plant pollution. 33,000 asthma attacks are triggered, again, just by these old coal-fired power plants. And although we're looking at using newer plants in Illinois, there's still going to be a number of death and disease that is being created from that. And we prefer to see money being given in incentives for renewable and efficiency.
Well, let me follow up on just that for a moment, because I'm sure that some people would, in reacting to what you said about the health impact of coal-burning power plants, they might say something like, well, yes, we know that those kinds of plants do result in air pollution, but it's our understanding that the main source of air pollution is the automobile. Given that fact, how can you be so specific in saying, actually putting a number on deaths and illness and say this is a direct result of burning coal in these power plants?
Well, there have been a couple of different reports done just in the last year alone, one of them by ABT Associates, which is a consulting firm that the United States Environmental Protection Agency often uses, the other by the Harvard School of Public Health. Harvard School of Public Health really just looked at the nine northern coal-fired power plants in Illinois. And both of them basically concluded the same thing. They were able to, through their modeling, determine how many people die in number of asthma attacks, they were also able to find that just by cleaning up the old coal-fired power plants we have in Illinois, we could reduce those public health impacts by about two-thirds, which is quite significant. However, it means that even by cleaning up these old ones, the new ones that are coming online today still have some public health impacts with them, and that's why we're really concerned. I'd also point out that this the 1,700 premature deaths is more deaths than are caused by motor vehicle accidents or homicides in Illinois. So we're talking about quite a significant problem, not to say that, you know, one way to die is, you know, less harsh than another, but this is something that is taking a toll on people in Illinois, and it's something that we can change for the better, and we think that that's the direction we should be heading in.
One of the aspects of this legislation is it's essentially providing money that would encourage the building of new, one would hope, state-of-the-art plants. The plan is that they would be built close to the source of the coal, so that would cut down on transportation costs and with the latest technology, and then that could be used to generate power that would benefit probably the southern part of the state. What's your take on this, the kind of technology that would be used in these plants, and how much better would it be than some of the older plants that are in operation now?
Well, we'll certainly be better, and we are, you know, we are pleased with that. However, I would point out that the federal government now has paid $2 billion in money that has been given to the coal industry to look at, you know, quote, clean coal technologies. This is actually federal subsidies. And they have not yet achieved any real breakthrough reductions in smog and soot pollution, have not addressed mercury or global warming pollution at all. We, you know, think that clean coal is really an oxymoron, and we can have, you know, we can burn coal cleaner through scrubbers, through some of the technology that the state of Illinois is looking at right now, but it still is going to burn you know, dirty, it still is not going to be as clean as it could be, and it's still going to cause public health impacts. And again, we think that really we're going down a road that's going to continue us using coal for a period of time when instead we should really be looking at where we're investing our money and our resources and looking at promoting and encouraging efficiency and renewable sources of energy.
Mm-hmm. But we would still have to, we've still got to have, we cannot immediately move away from the kinds of energy-generating technologies that we're using now, even if we decided that today we wanted to do that. That's going to take some time.
Absolutely. And we, you know, Illinois PIRG and I think the public health and environmental community all recognize that coal is going to be part of the foreseeable energy mix for the future. And we understand that, we recognize that, but I think there's a difference toward recognizing that coal is going to be part of that mix or starting us on the path to shifting away from polluting sources of energy and starting us shifting more toward efficiency and renewable sources of energy.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I know your organization is concerned with that, and you're, I think, disappointed that this legislation does not address, is the pollution that's generated by older plants. And apparently what happened when the Clean Air Act was passed now 31 years ago and then was subsequently amended, the legislation basically grandfathered the older plants because it was argued that those plants would soon be out of service and so they should be exempt, so argued the operators of the plant, they should be exempt from the law. And so Congress said, okay. The problem apparently is, though, that there are a number of these older plants still operating in Illinois that don't have to meet the federal clean air standards. And you think that that's something that should have been addressed?
Yes, I think that's a major loophole. As you noted, you know, a number of these plants have been built in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And when we think about all the technology, the technological advances that have taken place since that period of time, you know, you look at the automobile and how much cleaner we've made that even in the last 20 years. We really need to close that loophole. My understanding is that this legislation that is before the governor really focused a lot on the newer plants, recognizing that, you know, the newer plants are going to be cleaner and that they aren't going to cause the same kind of public health impacts. However, at the same time, you know, there is an economic disadvantage for these newer plants because the older plants don't cost as much to, you know, to upkeep. They aren't being as efficient in their operations, and there's nothing to really deter them from going ahead and polluting. There is, my understanding, in this package, money that is set aside for scrubbers for some of these older plants who may want to, you know, clean up their act a little bit more. But really what we need to do is make sure that all of these plants meet modern air pollution standards and aren't enabled to pollute up to five times as much as the newer plants do today.
Mm-hmm. Apparently there is, as part of this legislation, there is supposed to be, the Illinois EPA is supposed to at least look at this question, is there a need for new state regulations to deal with emissions by these older plants that are not subject to the federal air quality standards?
Yeah, and there was a separate piece of legislation that is also on its way to the governor's desk that basically does just that, and it's also, as you mentioned, you know, part of this larger package. But by establishing this regulatory process that we can reduce air pollution from these old coal-fired power plants, we're really, I think, on the way to being able to address this problem. You know, we have confidence that the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has been listening to public health and environmental concerns over these old coal-fired power plants, and we'll look at what the emission standards will be and look at the timetable. We really need to start addressing these issues now, and we need to address them in a comprehensive and not a piecemeal manner. So we're hoping that the governor will sign this piece of legislation that we'll be able to move forward with having some real emission standards in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess just to go back to something you said, it apparently it's my understanding again that what one feature of the legislation is, it does provide $500 million that essentially would be available, that it would be a loan to have people buy scrubbers, put them on the older plants, and then over time they'd be able to pay that back.
Right. And I think, you know, one of the you know, concerns with this piece of legislation is knowing, you know, is this something that industry will then go ahead and do, or will they be preferring instead to start, you know, having more plants in place? When we look at, you know, kind of the renewable side of it, there's also money in this package for that, which, you know, we're happy that it addresses it, but at the same time, we don't know of people in the renewable, you know, industry that have been contacted about this prior and that will take advantage of it. And we think that it, you know, basically shortchanges some of the efficiency in renewables.
I should introduce again at this point our guest for this hour, Focus 580. Diane Brown is Executive Director of the Public Interest Research Group of Illinois. We're talking about coal and energy policy in Illinois. We're intending to provide you a different point of view from that we had on show 2 weeks ago when we had three representatives of the coal industry on the program talking about the potential, as they saw it, for Illinois coal as a generator of energy in this state. And in particular, we're talking about this legislation that at that time there were several versions that were in the General Assembly. They did finally decide on one, and it's gone to the desk of the governor. We are expecting that the governor will sign it. And among other, it will do some of the things that we've talked about, including providing money in the form of state bonds for building new power plants, new state-of-the-art power plants to burn coal, Illinois coal, in the southern part of the state. Questions are welcome, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL, if you want to give us a call. Where are now the, as far as you're concerned, the most problematic coal-burning power plants in the state?
Well, in the Chicagoland area, I think one of the things, just step back for 1 second, that a number of people, you know, always associate coal with southern Illinois. However, I think it's important for people to recognize that there are 24 old coal-fired power plants in the state, and they really are situated across the state. I'm not going to single anyone out for being the worst, but I will say that, you know, Illinois PIRG has done a number of reports over the last couple of years. We have seen that there are a number of plants in the Chicagoland area that rank in the top 20 in the nation in terms of mercury pollution, so we're concerned about some of those plants. We're concerned about you know, plants in central Illinois that have also shown up on that top 20 list for smog forming and mercury pollution. So they really are, you know, kind of situated all across the state.
And you would not expect that if new plants were built that were cleaner, that would necessarily mean that the older plants that were dirtier would be closed down.
Correct. And that's, you know, one of our biggest concerns, as you noted, is that we really feel that these old coal-fired power plants have now been very well documented in terms of the kind of public health impacts that they create. And we really need to address that situation more of a comprehensive manner as we're starting to look at what we do for our energy sources, both in the short term and in the long term. But this is one where we know that just by meeting modern air pollution standards and closing that federal loophole, that we can really go a long way toward better protecting public health.
I know that, as you said, your organization is interested in promoting conservation, energy efficiency, cleaner sources of energy, and so forth. We do, however, have this significant resource here in the state of Illinois. It is in some part problematic because it's got a lot of sulfur in it. And it seems that so far, with the research that we put into developing cleaner coal technologies hasn't to date yielded a great deal. Although I think the industry would like to say that we're now at the point where finally, these millions of dollars that we spent should actually pay off. Do you see, though, at least in the short run, some potential for using that resource, that coal, as an energy generator?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we know that it's going to be part of the mix, and we know that there's a lot of a lot of interest in Illinois to be able to use that, economically speaking, for jobs and for, a number of other factors. However, I think it's also important for us to recognize that by using wind or by using solar or by using, some of the cleaner sources of energy, that we can also create jobs. We can also stimulate the economy in Illinois, and that we need to be able to give those a chance. They have not seen the kind of subsidies that coal has seen. We have great resources of all kinds in Illinois, and I think we really need to be not just using one particular resource. We need to be really looking at more of a mix in there. And what we're talking about is not a dramatic shift overnight, but really looking at getting more toward 10% renewable mix by the year 2010 and 20% by the year 2020. And I think that that's reasonable. It's a way that we can show that we're kind of shifting and making that kind of investment. The Environmental Law and Policy Center did a report recently called Repowering the Midwest that basically shows how we can use these different sources of efficiency and renewable energy to start us in that direction here in Illinois and across the Midwest. And I think that's something that really needs to be given serious consideration.
Well, in terms of renewables, what do you think has the greatest potential for us here in this state?
Well, I think, there's a mix there as well. Being able to use wind, being able to use solar, I think we really have a good opportunity to be looking at both of those. Again, neither of them are going to make up a majority of the mix for the future, but we need to start moving in a direction that will enable us to recognize that we can see those kinds of, non-polluting sources in the mix, and that we can reduce a lot of the public health impacts because of them.
One feature of this legislation we've been talking about is there is also some money to finance renewable energy projects, wind and solar. It's in fact equal to the amount that they've allocated for putting scrubbers into the older power plants, $500 million. I assume that you would think that it would be great if it was even more money, but what do you think about the fact that that at least has been included?
Well, we're very happy that at least it's been addressed and recognized that we need to be looking at that. Yeah, we would love to see it be more. The one concern that we have with that, as well as, again, kind of the whole package, is that this doesn't really lay out a plan of what we're going to be doing in Illinois, kind of short-term and long-term. It kind of sets us on the path to be using a lot more coal. But without knowing if there are, people in the renewable industry that are going to be able to take advantage of this, or if this is something that will, create new businesses in Illinois. And one of the things that we've seen is that within the last year, we've been very pleased that the governor's office has had a couple of summits that have looked at the issue of clean air and coal in Illinois. They've had an environmental forum that has addressed this topic. Recently, they were requesting input for an energy plan. We're a little concerned that this then, you know, $3.5 billion package has come out without, you know, kind of a collection of all of those different meetings and summits and the ability to then really look at, you know, what that plan should be. We would have preferred the process to have taken a little bit longer. We're usually not in a position where we say that, but being able to really look at how much money do we need to be better promoting renewables, having people at the table that are from those businesses that can talk about what their needs would be to be able to create more jobs for Illinois and to better protect public health and protect the environment.
Is the state of Illinois now putting any money into developing renewable energy sources?
I am not exactly sure what the budget is right now for either efficiency or for renewables. I know that it is something that the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has talked about. I know that they are, you know, also wanting to make sure that we are, you know, kind of looking a little bit more in this direction in the future. However, you know, we're concerned that this package isn't really significantly addressing the type of shift that we will need to make to be able to have more of a balance for the future.
We are just about at the midpoint of our program here, and I think we're going to get a caller lined up, and others would be certainly welcome to pick up the telephone and join us. If you have questions, comments, we'd be very happy to hear from you. Diane Brown is our guest, Executive Director of the Public Interest Research Group of Illinois. However, first, we need to do this. This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is Focus 580, our telephone talk program here on AM 580. My name is David Inge, and we're talking this morning about energy policy here in Illinois. We're talking specifically about coal and its place in the Illinois energy mix, and we're doing it in a sense to try to provide some alternative views to those expressed on the program a couple of weeks ago when we had three representatives here on the show of the coal industry. Taylor Pensinal, president of the Illinois Coal Association, Roger Dennison, he's the chairman of the association. He's also in the coal mining business. He's the president general manager of Turris Coal. Mike Murphy was also here, chief of the Illinois Office of Coal Development. And we were talking about the potential for use of Illinois coal and also this legislation that at the time was being discussed in the General Assembly. There were a couple of different packages, and finally that all got worked out, and it moved through and now has gone to the governor, and everyone is, I think, expecting him to sign it. And it would provide money to do a number of things, including building new power plants, new coal-burning power plants in the southern part of the state. And here in this part of the show, we're getting a reaction from an environmental organization, the Public Interest Research Group of Illinois. Diane Brown is our guest. She's executive director. Questions are welcome. We have somebody ready to go. Others are certainly invited to call. 333-9455 for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free 800-222-9455. The caller here is in Belgium and line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
You folks haven't touched on this, and I don't know that anybody touches on this aspect of coal and coal-fired generation. In your discussion of a few days ago with the other representatives, you talked about the cost of coal, and you thought it was so cheap and everything, which for Illinois coal it is cheap. But coal is priced also upon the amount of heat it produces. And Illinois coal is a soft coal. And soft coals do not produce near as much heat as the hard coals on the East Coast, Pennsylvania, which is anthracite-type coal. Now, because of that, we have to burn a lot more coal to produce the same amount of energy to produce the power. Well, that means that the dirtiest coal is the most, you have to use the most of the dirty coal to produce the same amount of power. So even though we have a lot of it, and we probably have a very valuable resource in some ways, it's really not good to be burning in a power plant because it is the dirtiest. And no matter how much you scrub, you're never going to be able to get it as clean as you can get the anthracite-type coal. Seems to me that the best way to deal with it is to utilize it in either making alcohol or other gasoline-type products to use, you know, petroleum-type based products that they use in South Africa and places like that. The Germans used it in World War II to produce their fuels. So it's not a technology that's not unknown, and utilize, say, wind or solar or nuclear, which I'm sure your guest may not be very positive towards nuclear, but it is the very cleanest of heat energy sources as far as solar heating goes. I mean, not solar, atmospheric warming goes. What's your opinions about that, ma'am?
Well, I think you hit upon something that I'd like to kind of keep going on for a second there. The overall, you know, cost issue, I think, is one that oftentimes does get cited back in terms of, you know, why we should be using more coal in Illinois. And I think you're right in terms of efficiency and in terms of being able to use it at power plants. It obviously is an extremely polluting source. One of the reasons that this, you know, kind of package got thrown together was to be able to, you know, kind of stimulate the Southern Illinois coal industry. And you know, David, you had mentioned earlier that we actually use a lot of Western coal. That is, you know, kind of one of the reasons why I think this package was put together, was because there is, you know, concern that we're using a lot more Western coal than Illinois coal, and wanted to come up with you know, kind of creative ways to provide some incentives to be able to use it here. I think one of the other factors that many people aren't aware of, and we're just starting to get a lot of more research in on this right now, is that wind, the cost of, you know, kind of wind capacity, wind energy capacity, has really dropped dramatically in, you know, the last 10, 20 years. And so I think, you know, again, cost is always a concern to, you know, to every consumer, every citizen of the state. And we really, you know, need to be looking at that as part of the calculation. But I think we also need to be looking at part of the calculation of how much does it cost for people that are taking time off of work, that, you know, people that are having to rush their children or, you know, their parents to the doctor or to the hospital because of health costs associated with the air that they're breathing. And, you know, I think in general, while there may be cleaner sources of coal, you know, you did hit it right, that it's not the place to be burning it in these coal-fired power plants. But in overall, we need to really be looking at how can we be reducing, you know, any kind of the impacts that coal has to public health and to the environment, and how can we be getting on a road for the future that is going to minimize those impacts.
Well, the past history of nuclear is poor in that they kept changing the regulations, and the cost of the plant for nuclear is much higher. But the price per kilowatt hour is much, much lower for nuclear when it's amortized across the entire gamut of the situation. If you once basically design the plants so that they work right, you don't have to keep changing them every day. You go to the job to build it. But that's a totally another topic.
And you're right. I mean, we obviously do have some concerns with nuclear power as well. You know, there has been no place to dispose of the wastes that are created by nuclear power. And you know, we also don't feel that we should be heading in a direction of creating more radioactive waste without having a solution of what we need to do with it.
That is the major drawback with nuclear power. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And I do want to mention, by the way, that on Thursday we will be talking about nuclear energy and its place in the administration's energy plan. And we'll be talking with David Lochbaum. He's a nuclear safety engineer with the Union of Concerned Scientists. This is an organization that has said they're very concerned about the idea of building new nuclear power plants, expanding the segment of nuclear generation in the energy mix in this country. So obviously that's a point of view that's going to say they're not happy about the idea of building new plants. We don't have somebody scheduled now, but we will have somebody on the program to represent the industry point of view. So again, we want you to try to get both. But at least we're going to try to get at it in one respect this week on Thursday at 10 o'clock. So if you're interested, you might want to tune in for that. And other questions are welcome. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. And just for a second, just to toss out another number, we were talking about the fact that here we have this resource of coal in the state of Illinois, but it's high sulfur and it's problematic. And so even though we have coal here, we're importing coal to burn in power plants. And most of the coal that gets produced in this state, something like 65% of Illinois coal actually goes out of the state. It's sold to utilities in other states. Go ahead.
I'm just going to pick up on, I know we don't really want to get into the whole, California, what does it mean, here in Illinois. But one of the other things that I would just kind of note that we're also concerned about is that Illinois really doesn't have an electricity capacity shortage right now. There's been research recently done that showed that even if no new power plants were built in the next 10 years, we would still have 30% more capacity than we would need to meet peak power demand in Illinois. And just as kind of a benchmark, the industry basically says you want to have 20% in reserve to be able to, to feel safe and comfortable. With the new power plants that are already planned or under construction, it's estimated that Illinois will have 60% more capacity than is needed by the year 2010. So we're also concerned, you kind of brought up the, kind of out of state.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also of concern that we're, potentially going to be sending, even more electricity out of state, but the people here in Illinois are going to be feeling those public health impacts because some of the research that Harvard and others have done has showed that, the people who are living closest to these plants, no surprise, are the ones that are, feeling the greatest public health impacts. And so, I think it's another one of those measures of why are we, putting more money here and, really looking at how does this all, play when we're looking at more of a comprehensive plan and when we're looking at, what are we going to be doing for the future?
Well, I think it's perfectly relevant to bring up the situation elsewhere because those people who are arguing for building new plants in this state are, in a sense, they're referencing it. They're saying, well, we want to make sure that in the future here in the state of Illinois, we can meet Illinois' energy needs. And so that's definitely an underlying justification for the very idea of building new plants, particularly those that would serve consumers downstate. And that seems to me that's part of what's behind this idea that, well, we're going to provide funds so that we can build these new plants. Yes, they're going to use Illinois coal. They're going to be state of the art. They're going to be near the mines, so it'll be more efficient and so forth. But it seems that the underlying thing that they're suggesting here is that we might have problems in the future providing enough power to Illinois. So let's make sure we don't have that problem. And to do that, then we're going to build some new plants.
Right, and we think it's, totally reasonable to be looking at, and we would expect that our state leaders are going to be looking at our supply, both now and longer term. However, we think that this process of $3.5 billion was somewhat rushed and that it really didn't take into account all of the, the plans that are already underway or the construction that's already underway in the state and looking at what that mix would be and having the kind of input from the public health and environmental community, people who are in the renewable industry and others to really be able to have it more of an open process. I mean, you mentioned that there were several versions of this piece of legislation floating around. Myself and others were down there as this was moving, through the Senate, and it was difficult to even be able to get a full copy of the bill before it was being voted on to be able to, adequately address some of the concerns that we, that we had and that we've had since being able to, look at it a little bit closer.
We're coming into the point here where we have maybe about 10 or 12 minutes left in this first hour of Focus 580, and perhaps again I'll introduce our guest. We're talking with Diane Brown, Executive Director of the Public Interest Research Group of Illinois. We're talking about energy policy here in the state of Illinois and the role that coal, Illinois coal, can play in power generation. 2 weeks ago, we had some coal industry representatives here on the show, and we wanted to provide you with a different point of view, particularly a different perspective on this legislation that we've talked about that's gone through the General Assembly. Will be, everyone expects, I think, will be signed by the governor, legislation that is aimed at trying to revive the coal industry here in the state of Illinois. Questions welcome, 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. One other thing we actually haven't mentioned that's also part of this legislation is some money, $300 million, again, these are bonds, that would be available to upgrade the transmission grid. That is the wires, the wires that essentially that get the electricity from the plant to our houses. Is there some concern that the transmission grid in the state is aging, is not in good shape, possibly even leaking in the sense that you want to make sure that the power that's generated gets to the people who use it and doesn't get lost along the way? And I suppose if there were problems with the transmission grid, in fact, that might happen, that some energy would not get to where it's actually supposed to go and, in a sense, would be wasted. Is there some concern about the quality, the efficacy of the integrity of the transmission lines?
Well, we have heard that. Illinois PERG has not specifically studied that, but we've heard that from others who are more intimately involved with this aspect of both the legislation, but then also of just the kind of the operation as well. And we have every reason to trust that we do need to kind of update and basically make sure that we're upgrading some of the systems that are in place right now as well. I don't know that we're at a crisis point right now, but I do think, it's important to kind of prevent future problems that may exist and to be able to address some of those issues, now versus in the future when they do get to the point where, people are becoming even more concerned.
We have some other calls. We have somebody on a cell phone, so I want to get right to them.
Okay.
On line number one. Hello.
Yes, good morning. I have two questions. Is there a website that lists specifically the locations of the proposed plants, maybe some kind of a map? And also, some of these plants, I believe, are actually in the Shawnee National Forest. Now, how does that work with the federal government? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. I don't know that there have very definite potential sites been identified for new plants.
I am not sure exactly where all the new plants are being proposed. I mean, I know that there are some that are in the works right now, and I don't know that it's on anyone's website. I think the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency would be probably the best source to be able to get the updated permit request from. The old coal-fired power plants, Illinois PERG, we have a map, and we list those on our website, and that is www.illinoisPIRG.org. We also, do my quick little plug here, we have additional information on this issue and ways to get involved on our website as well. There's also other resources and links to a couple of the other organizations that we've been working on this issue with.
And is somebody talking about putting a power plant in the Shawnee National Forest?
I have not heard that.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure. Could you do that?
That's a good question. I would hope that you couldn't, and I think that there are enough. There are some good kind of regulations regarding national forests. We have been very concerned with a lot of the policies that have been promoted as well. On a federal level, dealing with the energy proposal that the Bush administration has come out with. That is something that we will be monitoring as well in terms of where some of these plants get sited and just the process for that as well.
All right. To next caller, Southeastern Illinois, line number four. Hello.
Yeah, I really don't have any one question, just kind of a number of little questions. The plants that are being built now, aren't those mostly fueled by natural gas, I mean, as I understand, that's the type of plant they're building now, and if natural gas continues to be so short and so high, I think there's going to be a movement toward perhaps restricting the use of natural gas to residential and commercial heating.
Yeah, some of these plants in the legislation actually helps benefit the natural gas industry as well. But really, kind of the impetus behind this legislation was how can we start burning more Illinois coal? How can we, kind of stimulate the economy in southern Illinois and take advantage of a resource that, is in what many people would, kind of term in abundance right now. We're concerned with both coal and natural gas that at some point the supply does run out, and, natural gas probably quicker. And that's why we really feel that we need to be looking at more of a comprehensive plan that has, wind, that has solar, that has efficiency more in the mix.
Do you know whether the same companies will be involved in any new plants that will be built? That, in other words, companies that might close out some of those old plants that would be in because I think Mr. Ince said something about providing electricity mostly for southern Illinois, but I suspect that what with the money allotted for upgrading the transmission lines, a lot of it is the idea is to create the power in southern Illinois and transmit it through transmission lines to northern Illinois.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, it really, it's a package that I think is designed to benefit the whole state, but really, looking at more of the job creation and the use of Illinois coal. But, certainly the transmission lines are intended to be able to have an impact in the northern part of the state as well.
What you spoke of wind and solar, what's being done in the state now? I mean, are there many wind farms in the state?
Well, there is in Champaign. There is a wind farm that is under construction right now. There's also Maytag has been doing a lot in terms of efficiency out of Galesburg, Illinois. There are, I think more of these, kind of independent projects that are, being created in different places. But I think it gives us the ability to say we can do some of that. The city of Chicago has actually started putting solar panels on some of the museums and have a plan to do more of that in the future. And so I think we really need to be looking at some of the programs that have been successful in places that are underway right now and looking at how we can expand some of those. Natural gas is going to be cleaner than using the coal-fired power plants.
Isn't there a certain amount of pollution involved in making the solar cells that provide solar electricity?
To my understanding, it is not, anywhere near as great as what we're seeing in terms of the public health impacts, from the coal-fired power plants. And also, solar itself obviously is non-polluting when you look at it in comparison to these other types of electricity that we're talking about, or types of energy that we're talking about.
Yeah, are organizations like yours working, doing active work? I mean, trying to raise money and encourage the wind farms and things like that. In other words, are you working as hard toward what you believe in as you are against what you don't believe in?
Yes, absolutely. We are working to help make sure. I think, one of the big things right now, we've mentioned is working to kind of close this loophole for these older coal-fired power plants. But at the same time, we are also, promoting efficiency, promoting renewables. There are a number of organizations that we work with that, have been really focused on some of those efforts as well. And we think it's important for people to recognize that, we're not saying this is the way that it needs to be in 2 years or in 5 years, and this is the perfect makeup of how all of this stuff plays together, but recognizing the different impacts that each of the sources of energy create and looking at how we can come up with a plan that really makes sense for Illinois, that uses the resources that we have, that enables us to look at, the differences between northern and southern Illinois, and that really puts us on a path to a cleaner, safer energy future.
We just have a couple of minutes left. I'd like to try and get at least one more caller, if the last caller will forgive me. We'll go to Chicago here, line one. Hello.
Thank you. You mentioned a lot of Illinois coal is being shipped out for other utilities in the country. Are any of the utility companies owning the coal mines and other lands that are associated with the coal production?
I'm sorry, I could barely hear you.
Oh.
He asked the question, I guess the question was, do any of the utilities own the coal mines, or are those essentially separate businesses?
That's a good question. I'm not sure, who all is owning what these days. I think one of the things that we're seeing is that there have been a lot of changes in the industry. A lot of, the industry in Illinois, has kind of the corporate headquarters elsewhere, or, parent company, elsewhere as well. And then there's a lot of, kind of mergers that are also taking place. So I think it's a good question to be looking at and to continue to watch as well. We know that there's obviously, a lot of special interests as part of this industry, as there are in, kind of any energy sources. And I think it's something to look at how that's playing out in terms of then decisions that are being made.
The next question was, I understand there are a comment that in Texas there are several dozen power plants waiting to come online, but they're just waiting for the right price before they do. Have you heard about the large number of power plants in Texas?
I haven't heard specifically about Texas. I have heard, in a number of places across the country, some of it is all of a timing issue and, kind of looking at what's happening with the market and fluctuation and just, kind of energy needs and where decision makers in the various states are at as well. And I think that is something that, we do need to be looking at. And just to, kind of reference, California briefly, I think, that is one of the things that we saw there, was that, a number of these companies, really had sued to avoid building new cleaner energy plants and had spent, millions of dollars lobbying for and defending some of the new electricity laws that caused these problems in the first place. And so, have been said to have withheld some of the energy at times when they've had it. And so I think we really need to be looking at what are our needs in Illinois, how are we going to be able to meet them, and what is that makeup going to be for the future.
We're going to have to leave it at that because we've come to the end of the time, and we want to say, Ms. Brown, thanks very much for talking with us. Diane Brown is Executive Director of the Public Interest Research Group of Illinois.